Well, I want to begin our sort of reflections on what we've just read by talking about this important question: how long is a piece of string? Now, maybe you've heard of that phrase. It gets said in certain situations. When will this job finally get done? Well, how long is a piece of string? People say. When will COVID be under control? Well, how long is a piece of string? People say. When will your bedroom get tidied up? Well, the parents say to one another, how long is a piece of string? Now, what does that mean? It means, I don't know how long it will take exactly, but I know that it has a beginning and that it will have an end, just like, here we go, a piece of string. There we go. How long is a piece of string? And the thing is, you don't know how long a piece of string is until it's got the beginning and the end. It only becomes clear when that end is known. Here's another one. Here's another question. How long will my life last? Well, how long is a piece of string? We don't know, do we? But we know that it had a beginning. We were born. Our life began. We just don't know when it will end at this stage. How long is a piece of string? And given that we really don't know how long a piece of string, or how long our piece of string is, our life, what Jesus says to us in his own words in John chapter 11 changes everything. It really does. For people like us, young people, older people, who all had a beginning and all face an end, as we think of an end anyway, Jesus this morning and on this day has awesomely good news for every single one of us here. And he gives us that good news as we see him dealing with his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, recorded in John chapter 11. Jesus, in his own words, says this to them, I am the resurrection and the life. And so it's fitting that we look at this on Easter Sunday. As we read in John, Lazarus had fallen sick and was dying, and the sisters, his sisters, sent word to Jesus to come. Lord, verse 3, the one you love is sick, was the message. And the messenger goes off with the message, but sadly, very, very soon after that, it seems, Lazarus died. So Lazarus dies well before Jesus actually gets there. And that seems sad, doesn't it? It's very, very sad. It's not unusual, though, but it is sad. In this world, that happens all the time. That has happened for some here very recently. It's very, very sad. Lives come to an end. We die. The length, as it were, of people's piece of string, which is their life, if you like, becomes known. Very, very sad. But it's into this exact situation of sadness and loss, recorded in John chapter 11, that Jesus brings this most amazing, glorious hope and joy. Because what he does and what he says, they really do change everything. So let's see some amazing things together then. Firstly, let's see this. Jesus transforms our view of death. He gives us a very different view of death. Verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus starts talking about sleep. Sleep. And that he's just going there to sort of shake Lazarus, as it were, and wake him up. Wake up, Lazarus. Understandably, his disciples say, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. I mean, I've never sort of sleep as a disease, but sleeping, he'll wake. That's what they thought. But no, Jesus isn't talking about sleep. He's still talking about death. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly to make it clear, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. See, what Jesus has in mind is something that he wants his followers to believe as they go to Lazarus, who has not actually fallen asleep, but who has died. He already knows that Lazarus is dead, and by the time he gets to Lazarus, it will have been 4 days dead. Properly dead. A long time dead. But Jesus is now going to do something that will be worth believing in. He's going to wake him up. So with Jesus, death is like sleep, because Jesus can wake the dead, can make the dead live. And if death is like sleep, then it isn't the end, is it? It's not the big end. There's a morning ahead, as with all of our sleep. There's a new day coming. Let's have a look at what he goes on to do later on in John chapter 11. Jesus, once more deeply moved, it matters to Jesus. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Death is no match for Jesus. No match for God. Jesus wakes Lazarus, not actually from sleep, but as if he were asleep, wakes him from death. So whatever else you say about that, it certainly means this, that death is not the end that it seems to be. What Jesus does gives hope that life can continue. Now, isn't that what we long for? So often? But even this new day for Lazarus isn't anywhere near as good as what Jesus wants us to have, as what this points to, as we'll see a little later on. Because if you think about it, here was Lazarus's piece of string. But then he got raised from the dead. And then he had another life there. And then it's how long is this piece of string again? If I can cut that. So he's just got two pieces of string now joined together. And it's going to come to an end for a second time. And I hope you can see that Jesus opens up to us a different and wonderfully comforting view of death. A different view of death. But secondly, we can see a bigger view of love. So love can be hard to define sometimes. It's very dependent on context. I feel loved, for instance, right? If I feel love, it means I think you have shown me love. But you may or may not have shown me love. Or I may not feel loved. When actually a very, very strong case can be made that what you have done for me is massively loving. But I don't feel it necessarily. You had my best interests in view and I didn't understand that. Now, we can really see Jesus' love for his dear friends in John chapter 11. Lazarus, in verse 3, is called the one you love. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, in verse 5. Jesus clearly loves them, and yet his behavior seems to be really the opposite of love, doesn't it? To most people's way of thinking. See, the message comes that Lazarus is sick. And what does Jesus do? Let's have a look. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Which of us wouldn't get up immediately and go and see a loved one, especially if we could help? Jesus loved them, not in doubt that, makes a big point of it. So, he stayed for 2 more days. What sort of love is this? What's going on here? It sounds like the sort of thing that might emerge after the whole fact as a scandal of some sort. Jesus planned to not get there in time to help, but he made it sound like he loved them. But what we discover is not hypocrisy, but a much bigger category of love. Not just for Lazarus, but for Mary and Martha, and for the disciples, and for us too. Verse 4 is very important. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." See, there is a plan and a purpose that is clear for Jesus in what he's doing. A plan that includes Lazarus's death, which Jesus knows about well before they go to him. He told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And so what is this loving, and what is loving about this? How can he go and look Mary and Martha in the eye? How can we put our trust in him? Because he is always about our best good. That's why. That we may believe. Believe what? Let's read it, verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus, to demonstrate power over death, in his own words says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus' love involves you and I knowing this. Through believing in him, we can live even though we die, but that life cannot ever die. And that is a big view of love. That is Jesus and his interest in yours and my best good. Don't you think? It's good that we get to know that. And so what we get is what we finish with today, our third point, a breathtaking view of hope. Breathtaking view of hope. Going back to the question we started with, how long will your life last? Well, how long is a piece of string? Do you see what Jesus is saying? If he is who he says he is, and believing in him will accomplish what he says it will. Well, here we go. It's like the piece of string. Let me just do my knots here. Might get a cadet to help me. Here you go. Here's the piece of string. How long is your life? How long is a piece of string? Oh, no. I need a cadet for my knot tying. Here we go. How long is a piece of string? It's this long. I can go all the way over here. I can go running around. I can go around laps and laps of this place. How long is this piece of string? And you're all thinking, yeah, but that's on a spool and it'll get to the end and it's wrapped around a chair now. But look, at the end of that one, there's another one and another 1,000. And another 1,000, and another 1,000. And it's not just a hope for the end of your life here. It starts when you believe in Jesus. This new life is ours because Jesus is not just the resurrection at the end of our life. He is the new life right now. What a breathtaking hope that we have. And today on Easter Sunday, as we recall another tomb with a stone rolled across it, there's no dead body in it though, is there? Our hope isn't to have what Lazarus got, just to come back to life and then die again. Our hope is for something else, to follow Jesus into life, life that will never end. Raised to new life, never to die again. Don't look at Lazarus for hope. Look to Jesus, who rose from death, never to die again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you believe in him, you'll live even though you die, and believing in him, you will live even though you die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this message. Lord, we don't know how long our piece of string is, but with Jesus, Father, we know that there is an eternity that you want us to have with you. Thank you that you give us a different view of death, a bigger view of your love. And thank you that you give us this breathtaking view of the hope that we have. Not for the future, but for right now. Lord, I pray that each one of us here will believe that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to praise the name of our God right now. Through never-ending days, we will sing his praise. This song itself speaks about that life that will go on and on and on with Jesus. Please stand.